Since the inaugural meeting was held in August 1863, Saratoga Springs has been the scene of memorable horse races, often featuring legends of the sport. Although some of the epic moments are still familiar today, many of the triumphs and defeats that were once famous have been forgotten. In their new book, 150 Years of Racing in Saratoga, Little Known Stories and Facts from America's Most Historic Racing City, Alan Carter and Mike Kane take a look back at important but neglected stories and present statistics from the pre-NIRA years and a rundown of the greatest fields assembled at America's oldest track. Alan Carter and Mike Kane, thank you very much for being with us. A great honor to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Very much.
I love this book. It's an amazing book and a wonderful history of the race course. One of the things that's always surprised me is that there really has been so little written about the track and its history, other than old photos and the like.
Well, there was a pretty well done book by Ed Hotaling on the history of Saratoga, which is going to be probably the book of Saratoga as long as we live. But of course, Ed just died recently. But that would be the classic linear history of Saratoga.
And that was 20 years ago.
Right.
You're right. There haven't been a lot of books written about Saratoga, which has a great history. And we found plenty of stuff to mine from that history.
So what were you looking for? Specifically, what were you looking for in telling this story?
I think we're looking for stuff that people either didn't know or forgot. I mean, when you talk about the 1930 Travers with Jim Dandy, everybody knows that Jim Dandy was the hunter who one shot that won the race and he won it in the slop.
Right.
But we went back and looked at the horse that finished third, for instance, was an awfully good horse, probably almost Hall of Fame horse if he had kept running, but he got injured in the race and never raced again. And we look a little more closely at Jim Dandy himself rather than Gallant Fox.
Yeah, so we're looking, peeling back the onion, so to speak, and look at different stories that were out there that people didn't talk about. Everybody knows Man of War lost. Everybody knows that he lost to Upset. Well, who was Upset, and how good was he, and who owned him, and what became of him after that one moment of in the sunshine at Saratoga in 1919? We're telling those kind of stories.
And you come from a perspective of more of a horse racing background in the sense because there's a lot of different ways you could go in a book like this of the history of the race course itself and how it's evolved and its politics, which you certainly cover.
Mm-hmm.
And then also about the city and the changing face of the city. And then in the middle of all of this, the terrific racing that takes place every summer and has for the last 150 years.
Well, we're both involved with the racing. I've been a journalist for better than 30 years covering the racetrack.
Right.
Alan's been a fan and historian of the racetrack at the National Museum of Racing. So he's done tons of research on the track, the horses, the people, for a variety of people. I've written about it for a variety of people as well in publications. So we became friends when we were both working at the National Museum of Racing and decided, okay, let's write about Saratoga, but let's write what we want to write about, not have some editor lay it out there and say, well, cover this and this and this. So we decided, okay, here we go. Alan wrote a dozen of the chapters are chapters that were things that he was interested in and wanted to write about. We talked about them, but he did the research and he did the writing. I took a little bit different approach to what I was doing. But because we were good friends, and as I've described, better friends now that the book is done.
almost married.
Yeah, there you go.
I said to him on the way to here today, I'll see a lot less of you in September than I have in July and August. But we went after things that we were interested in. We know Saratoga racing, and we've been around it, and we've been doing research on it for many years. So it's not like some author came in from Madison, Wisconsin, and said, I'm going to do a book on Saratoga, and had to start just learning where Nelson Avenue is and where Union Avenue is and that kind of stuff. We know that stuff. Alan lives in Saratoga, has for many years. I've worked in Saratoga for many years. So we wanted to tell stories that people hadn't talked about a lot and that we thought were interesting. That's the genesis of the book.
You know, I grew up not as an Army brat, but as a track brat, because my grandfather was heavily involved in racing and specifically in New York racing and in Saratoga. So, you know, I spent a lot of years growing up and my whole life spent at this race course. And it just how it's changed in my lifetime. But One of the things I'm always fascinated with, and you touch on this, and there's a couple different ways that you do it in the book, which I find really interesting, but of what makes it so special, not so much for the ambiance, which I think is so often looked at, and rightfully so, but as a construct and as a race course, of what makes it such a special place for these incredible horses to come.
I think it's mainly the history. I mean, you're going to a race course where Hindu won, Luke Blackburn won, Man of War, Secretariat, you go on. And it's pretty almost hard to come up with horses that didn't run at Saratoga. And it hasn't changed that much. It's the same site. Maybe the track itself has changed the physical plant. And then also, I think it's also the mix of the people. This is the only place where you can see jockeys walking from their headquarters to the track, and kids can sign and get their autographs signed.
Right.
And you see the millionaires, and you see $2 punters right next to each other all the time.
Yeah, Saratoga has adapted through the years, but it's still retained that closeness. It's big time, but it's not big time in that respect that that the fan can't get close to the action. And you see that in a lot of sports. How close do you get to you can go to an NFL game, how close do you get to the action?
Right.
Most of us don't get very close. Same thing with basketball, baseball. You can get into the arena, but you can't get that close. At Saratoga this afternoon, you can walk up to the rail. You can hear those horses coming down the stretch. You can hear the jockeys yelling or whipping the horse or doing all the noise that comes along with the sport. As Alan mentioned, you can get an autograph from a jock on the way back from the track. You don't get that in major sports. And it was built in the 1890s, the facility is very close to the actual racing surface. So for a $5, whatever the seats cost you, you can be quite close to it. You can't do that at Giant Stadium. You can't do that at Yankee Stadium.
Right.
I think that's part of the atmosphere. Yeah. You feel part of the action.
And also another thing is it's cheap. I mean, it costs for Travers Day, I think about $10 to get in. And Kentucky Derby, it's like $100.
Yeah, just to walk in it, I think it's $50 to with no seat.
Yeah,
right. To go to the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah,
And it's with 140,000 people there. It's not a very comfortable environment. But Saratoga, with a picnic area, with all the things that they've got going on there that they've added through the years, they've adapted. It's a 19th century track in the 21st century. You can bet online with using your iPad, sitting at a picnic table in the backyard, but still you're at a very historic venue, and so it's a nice mix.
It's also family oriented too, which helps. A couple can bring their kids, and they aren't going to hear the bad language. You're going to hear it aqueduct in the inner track,
right?
And they got playgrounds for the kids, and that's one thing. I don't think any other track is as welcome to children as Saratoga is.
So I want to ask you about the Travers in a moment. Before we do that and close out, it's I think interesting of exactly what you mentioned of having these environments and the melding of people that make up the track and its various cultures within the places on the property. And that has changed some. Do you think, given the New York Racing Association and the troubles that it has had, that it has had any effect on A, quality of racing, and B, on the feeling and of the overall tenor of what goes on there during days in July and August?
I think the quality of racing remains very high. Thanks to a couple things, the history. People want to come to Saratoga and race at Saratoga if you've got a good horse. And our purses in New York State are very high as a result of the money coming out of Aqueduct,
right,
out of the Racino there. So maiden races are running for $80,000, $85,000. It's a lot of money. And compared to other tracks around the country, this is a place that the top horses are going to want to come to. The people who own the top horses are going to want to come to. You get a win at Saratoga, it's a big deal. And you really appreciate that when you go somewhere else, which I do often in my job, and I say, hey, Saratoga's my home track, and people just are in awe of Saratoga around the country. Sometimes for us here, you know, it's here. We're used to it. This is where we go to. But it has a very high prestige level around the country for racing.
I think Mike is right, especially in stakes races. No track in the country has a stakes program that Saratoga has. Well, the problem right now is they've got a hostile, it's kind of a hostile governor, not as bad as he could be, but he says, Nyer, you've got to make money. And the only way to make money is here. They aren't going to make it downstate. And so they're forced to put on probably more races than they want to or we want to. And they have to race cheaper races because there's a horse shortage. So you're getting 10,000 maiden claiming New York breds, right, which is about as low as you're going to get. But in other words, their hand's been forced. They have to do that. And for a casual fan, they don't know the difference between a New York bred maiden claimer and secretary. They couldn't tell the difference.
I'm not so sure I agree with that, but I mean, I get your point. I mean,
the average fan, certainly, but I mean, anyone who goes to the track regularly, I mean, used to go on a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday with some of the best racing, and now you see more and more of these races that are kind of like, I think I'll sit this one out.
Yeah, and you have to do that. But people who come here on vacation, they want the action. They're going to be in Saratoga for 3 days in the month of August. They want to see a lot of races because that's their vacation. On your question about the state, you know, I'd rather not have state government running racetracks. I think it's better in private hands. The governor took over the track last year after the most recent NYRA scandal. And I hope they go back to private enterprise in a couple of years when this period ends. Things needed to be cleaned up, and let's hope that they have cleaned things up and are back on steady ground, because it's a great sport. It's important for our economy that racing continues at a high level at Saratoga.
So we're almost out of time, but let me ask you about the Travers. It seems to me, on paper at least, and with the draw yesterday, this has the makings of a hell of a race.
Yes, I think it's probably the best field since 1987.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic field. Of course, we won't know how good the horse is out until a couple of years later, but it looks like if you're going to see a nice horse race, and also the advantage over 1987 was a huge thunderstorm. Here, you're going to be fast track, so there's no excuses.
And part of that is because you're seeing horses that were very instrumental in the Kentucky Derby and in Belmont that are participating. A lot of times they winnow out and don't make it to August.
Right. Last year was a good example. None of the Triple Crown horses were here.
I think Street Sense was the last winner of the Derby to run in the Travers.
Super
Saver, yeah.
Yeah. But in 2010 was the last one. But we don't get a ton of them. I was doing some research on that this week. This is an unusually good year. We have the first and second finishers in the Derby. We have got the Belmont Stakes winner. We got Verrazano, who was only lost one race and has been phenomenal this summer, coming in from Monmouth after winning a couple down there. So the quality, overall quality of the field, I think, is quite high. Now, if we get let's hope we get a memorable race that 5 years from now we're talking about as one of the all-time greats.
Our fourth book we'll be talking about.
But to have Orban here after him being off on a long layoff, and he looks great coming in against Palace Malice and Verrazano and some other interesting horses. Maybe Golden Soul runs another big race like he did in the Derby. We'll see. The conditions are going to be fast. It should be great. Big fields. I don't know if you've noticed. They have 14 races on Saturday. Yeah. 170 horses entered. So for handicappers and players, it's a gold mine. It's a beautiful situation to have many races and big fields on a great weather day.
A lot going on. Mm-hmm. And
I would take a chance. Sure. Maybe they'll have the biggest attendance they've ever had. And giveaway day.
Yeah, and I would suspect they're going to have a huge handle, too, just because of sheer volume of races.
Of horses.
And then bigger fields, that brings more play on them. People want to bet on 12-horse fields rather than a 6-horse field.
14, so where does it start? 11?
35, I think. 35? It runs till about 7 o'clock.
There you go.
Travers will be on NBC at 5:45.
Right. The book is a delight, and I thank you very much for coming and talking to us about it. It's called 150 Years of Racing in Saratoga, Little Known Stories and Facts from America's Most Historic Racing City, and it is out and about. It's put out by the History Press, and it's a really beautiful book, wonderful pictures and great stories. Did a great job. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks very much.
And have a great Travers Day. I'll see
we're
you
on
later.
Our way back to Saratoga right now.
Excellent. I'm jealous. The Travers Place takes place at the Saratoga Racecourse this Saturday. You can visit NYRA.com for more information on that. Alan Carter and Mike Kane's new book is 150 Years of Racing in Saratoga, Little Known Stories and Facts from America's Most Historic Racing City. It is published by History Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.